good afternoon, morning, or evening, listeners. I am Neil, here with Jonathan. You are listening to a special, very special episode of the Banter Pub FC podcast. We are still the spiciest team in the game. We still have the hottest takes on the pitch. And with that being said, this is a very special, as I said, this is a very special set piece episode because the Champions League is coming up. As you can see by what we are wearing, it is Manchester City versus Inter Milan. And as a result, we decided, because we told y'all we were going to do video content more, going to have clips ready and everything like that, we decided, why not do a combined Champions League 11 of Inter and Manchester City before the Champions League officially, before the Champions League final officially kicks off. Now, John, I know you and I are probably going to agree on some things, definitely disagree on some other things. Before the recording, we decided we're not going to include managers because you are so loyal to Pep. You would not even think about having Inzaghi on the byline for this combined 11. I understand. You know, to some Inter supporters, Inzaghi is still a snake because of where he used to manage. So I understand. I understand. But hey, at least, you know, I'll say this. At least it's not a situation where it's Pellegrini versus Pep, because then you might actually have a conflict.
My heart's been broken. It's like choosing your favorite son.
So, are you excited about the Champions League final?
Oh, I'm 100% excited. You know, this is our first time back since losing in 2021 to Chelsea, which still pains me to this day. And so we need to come back stronger. And we're just on the back of winning the league, and then it's last night winning the FA Cup. So we're about to be the next treble holders, potentially. And so, well, I'm very excited.
While Inter did not win the Scudetto this season, Inter is also coming into this on the precipice of potentially being treble winners because they won the Supercoppa, they won the other Italian Cup. So they are really looking forward to this is also a potential treble for Inter. And let's just get right into not necessarily who's going to have the stronger squad, because that's a conversation for an actual episode. But I think we should get this combined 11 started.
Let's get it.
And we're going to start at the back. Who is going to be protecting, you know, between the sticks? Obviously, I think, you know, it's a battle. Handanovic is not even a part of the conversation, you know, from an Inter standpoint. Onana is the clear and obvious number one for Inter, obviously. I think Ederson is obviously the better choice for keeper. From Manchester City standpoint, he's been there longer. He has the pedigree, not just the Champions League pedigree, but just the pedigree in general, right? And I am willing to concede, without even making an argument, to select Ederson over Onana. And I'm sure you would quickly agree.
I will quickly agree. I think Ederson, I would choose Ederson biased, but also that his distribution is better than Onana's. Whereas Onana's a great shot stopper, I think he's an excellent goalkeeper. I think this match is going to come down to how well people play football and in terms of passing. And I think Ederson has the edge over him.
For sure. And he, you know, not just from a distribution standpoint, but also just from a, again, I go back to experience, like experience at the highest level. You know, Onana gave Handanovic the opportunity to be between the sticks because this is Handanovic's last season, gave him the opportunity to be the, you know, the number one for the Supercoppa thankfully, Handanovic didn't bottle it. But, you know, that's an experience thing, right? Like, Handanovic is, you know, going away, and I think Ederson is far and away the better choice. But I think here is where we're moving up to defenders, y'all. So
it might get contentious, I guess, now.
a little bit. Obviously, both Inter and Manchester City have a wealth of defenders. I think once we get to the actual Champions League final, we could potentially see a lot of battles, and really that could be where the match is particularly won, between Manchester City's attack, Inter's attack, and their subsequent defenders. Because the midfield is going to be just a cluster. I feel like the midfield when we get to it, but also the midfield on the Champions League final day is going to be a clusterfuck anyway. It's going to be a clusterfuck. because there's just so much talent. I feel like there's talent from both sides. Like, this isn't a situation where it's like, oh, Manchester City or Inter have far and away the better players once you get past the goalkeeper. Like, goalkeeper was easy because Ederson has more experience and he's just the overall better keeper. But when you talk about defenders, I mean, really, I think the one spot, and I'm curious if you would agree with this, the one spot where Manchester City have the edge over Inter in terms of the combined 11, I think, do you want to start from left back to right back, or do you want to start from right back to left back?
Yeah, well, are we doing four at the back, or are we doing three? Because I know we've had to adjust over the season, and we're probably going to play three, but we can do four. If we do four, then, yeah, we can start left to right.
Okay. So, left back. Sorry, Manchester City, but Dumfries has got to be that guy. He's got to be that guy. I love whether it's Nathan Ake or who else has really played left back?
It's been a mix. It was sometimes him, sometimes
Akanji has played left back too.
Yeah, sometimes our academy player Rico Lewis too. He won't be. He will not be playing. He will not be starting. Rico Lewis. No, he's been there. He's played the role before this season.
So for left back, combined 11, who is your?
I thought it was gonna be contentious, but I will concede to Dumfries, and Ake is an excellent defender. I think he's actually the best defender that we've had on our team this season, but not at left back. I think he's much more suited center back, and I say that because even at City or even internationally, Ake's been asked to defend the best player on the opposing team. So I say in the center back role, he's excelling, but if thinking about left back, thinking about the season that Dumfries has had, even though Inter's Serie A season hasn't been great, he's still been doing the business in the Champions League and just in the whole season in general. So I'll give you Dumfries on left back. But I might be the only one. We might have to argue about the other pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, speaking internationally, like, we know that both Dumfries and Ake are international teammates. So, they both got called up for the World Cup. They're more than likely going to get called up for the Euros next summer. So, or this coming summer or next summer. Yeah. Next summer. But we'll see, you know, with those two on the back line internationally, it's always interesting because Dumfries probably prefers left wing back to left back as his natural position. And he likes to, you know, I think more than Ake, he likes to run the entire length of the field. Whereas Ake Ake can get up there, right? Ake will get up into the opposing box and whip a ball with the best of them. But I think if we're talking about actual, like if we're talking about full-fledged left back, I think it's got to be, it's got to be Dumfries. So center back right next to Dumfries. We have a lot of choices. I think for one of the two defenders, I have to give a shout for Bastoni, because Bastoni's been the clear and obvious best center back of Inter's options when he's healthy. I think Acerbi's been okay, Bastoni's been the best. So I will only give a shout for Bastoni to be of these two. Obviously, City has more options of the two, you know, with Stones and Ruben Dish and Ake. Who am I missing?
Anakanji,
yes, I'm sorry.
Of those positions, of those players, it's Dias that plays on the left side of center back. And again, this is why it's going to be hard for me to say anyone other than a City player, because one, and I've been telling people in the pub all the time, all season, once we get our defense sorted, we're going to be solid in the Champions League. And this is where it got us to the final. Dias is a big, big piece of that. And we've only conceded 5 goals the entire Champions League campaign. And Dias, our back four, is part of that solution. So I'm going to go with Dias over Bastoni. And just based off of what's the record shown, I don't know how many goals Inter has conceded in the Champions League, but to concede 1 goal to Real Madrid, to Bayern, I think none to Leipzig. I don't know if we conceded to Leipzig. I forget. But only three goals potentially in the knockout rounds. That's amazing. And Dias is part of that.
Dias has been world class ever since he became a Manchester City player. Like he put it, not the kit you're wearing, but he put on the Manchester City kit. And he's been world class. He's not just been world class at the club level. He's also been world class at the international level ever since he put on the City kit. So I'm totally fine with Ruben Dias. He's world class. Deserves to be left center back position. Certainly for his protecting the keeper and doing all of his defensive duties. Right. Now, for right center back, I think that this is usually where Bastoni plays. This is his natural center back position. Usually when Inter plays a back three, Acerbi is usually in the center, Darmian is usually on the left, and Acerbi is usually on the right. Bastoni's on the right. For me, from a production standpoint, not just in the league, Champions League, internationally, Bastoni is far and away. Bastoni is Italy's best center back. He's Inter's best center back, not just in the league, but also in the gym, like every competition. Acerbi is relatively new to Inter's kind of. Acerbi has acclimated well, but I feel like he needs at least one more season to kind of familiarize himself. Obviously there are several choices. There are several choices available for Inter. Manchester City. Because you really have 3 center backs, and at this point, Inter only has 1 to choose from. But I'd at least like for one of the, Would you argue again? Would you argue that Stones or Akanji is a better choice than Bastoni, or like what are you? I mean, take just looking at their production overall. I mean, because I did the comparison of the two, because Footbin gives you the opportunity, and this is not a commercial for Footbin, but I mean not Footbin, Footmob. This is not a commercial for Footmob. But I think, in my opinion, Bastoni deserves to be in that right center back combined spot. Overall, he's had the better production of all of the center backs that we have between both clubs in that choice. I think he's been the better option there.
If it was John Stones, maybe, but John Stones is not playing center back anymore. Pep has found a role that he can thrive in. If you compare it to Akanji, Ake, I even forgot about Laporte, who is, you know, probably on the way out, but he was on our 11 for like the last four titles. So, I mean, he got hurt, and when he got hurt, that's when we lost. So, to Liverpool. So, it'll be hard to say that Bastoni is better than any of them, given what we've had, what we've done in the Champions League, and what we've done in the league. I'll give it just because I think we're stronger on the left center back, because Aki can play there. Anyone can play there on the left more right. than on the right. So I would give it to Bastoni. I think Akanji is a close rival, because Akanji just has more pace to do stuff. But you know, when we go to right back, I definitely am not going to concede that one. But I'll give it to Bastoni. I'll give it to Bastoni.
Yeah, I think I think right back is, it's not really a conversation. Particularly after what Kyle Walker did over the last two legs against Vinicius. Vinicius did give him literally the runaround a few times, but it didn't translate into seven or eight goals. It just kind of, or even chance creation. It just kind of, well, it just kind of ended in they both ran out of the, you know, they both ran to the end of the pitch. And then proof positive that Vinicius is giving credit to Kyle Walker, where it's due. He gave, you know, they exchanged kits and words after, I think after the first leg. So I think it's obvious who the right back for this combined 11 is. Darmian and DiMarzio
include them into the conversation.
It's not even worth it.
Let's move on to the midfield now. We know it's Kyle Walker.
Yes. We know it's Kyle Walker.
Let me apologize to Kyle Walker. Two or three seasons ago, I was ready for Pep to say, you know, this is the end of the road. And I was wrong. I'll eat humble pie for that. And I'm really, really, really appreciative that. And I thought when we converted to a formation where the fullbacks moved into the midfield, that Kyle Walker, this is definitely the end of the road for him. But he's proven himself time and time again. To your point, Neil, in the first leg, Kyle Walker didn't play, and Camavinga and Vinicius was running wild. And the second leg came, they weren't doing none of that. So, shout out to Kyle Walker.
Indeed. So, this midfield. I think we should start. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like we should. I think the midfield would probably be best if we probably stick to, because the formation is kind of all over the place right now. So I think we need, but I think that sitting midfielder doesn't necessarily have to be a full-blown CDM. But that sitting midfielder, we have you know, Inter has two choices there, two options. You have Brozovic and you have Hakan. And obviously City has Rodri. Not that it's a two versus one kind of situation, because if I had a choice, it would be Hakan versus Rodri, because obviously Hakan's been getting the most starts. Hakan is world class, gets regular regular caps for his home country of Turkey, I think he's he's definitely a tremendous addition to Inter's side. Obviously, former AC Milan player, adapted incredibly well to Inter's setup, which wasn't a surprise because, again, Hakan is world class. Rodri is obviously a little different. Rodri, I feel like once Fernandinho left City, and I think he would agree with this, Rodri had to realize, okay, there's no one, the only player that is coming behind me, I don't have to look over my shoulder, but the only player that's coming behind me is Calvin Phillips. And I know that Pep is not going to regularly start Calvin. He's certainly not going to start him in the Champions League over me.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get the regular starts. I'm speaking as Rodri. Now, Rodri has age because he's a little bit younger than Hakan. But I think overall,
you gotta choose Rodri, Neil. I know it's paining you to say that. Rodri is the best defensive midfielder in the Premier League. He's starts for Spain. If he played against Chelsea, we would not have conceded the goal to Havertz. Because
I agree.
So, and he's made this role his own over the past 2-3 seasons he's been with the club. And even in the Champions League, like, he dominated Bayern, he dominated Real. I feel like it has to be Rodri over Hakan.
I agree. Like, you're not going to get a super argument from me. As for, like, I definitely think Hakan definitely has the pedigree, definitely has the reps, definitely has the caps internationally. Even though Turkey's not really, as a squad, is not really the best comparatively to a Spain. I think he deserves, I think it, if you're looking at the, of the CDMs, it's probably, you know, of the choices, it's probably Rodri, Hakan, Phillips, or no, Rodri, Hakan, Brozovic, Phillips.
Yeah.
And the only reason Phillips is at the bottom is because Pep doesn't need it. It's weird to say this, but you're probably gonna agree with me. Pep doesn't need to start Phillips at this point right now. The only reason you need to start Phillips is if Rodri, God forbid, gets injured. That hasn't happened. So
yeah, he's known to be fit. I think he's missed like a handful of games in his entire career, City career. Yeah. If this was 3 years ago, I would have said Brozovic over Rodri, but Rodri has shown why he's him in this whole role.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move up to the other two. I guess I don't necessarily say I think we're going to do two attacking midfielders. Or kind of mid, you know, kind of two midfield positions. One can be an attacker. One doesn't have to be a full fledged 10 or whatever. Obviously, so really, I think the choices for City are, you really have only two top choices: KDB and Ilkay Zidane.
Please. Thank you.
I'm only doing it for the set piece. Normally I wouldn't say it. And really, you know, of the choices, I think the, you know, Inter really only has one in Barella.
Who I rate Barella.
Barella is, you know, amazing. He's amazing. Again, Italy's probably their number one midfielder. Certainly Inter's number one midfielder. Worth the most, you know, just a great talent. It's going to be really tough for me to, because I know Gundogan and KDB are going to be like, you're going to say them without equivocation and not even bated breath. Like you're probably not even going to give Barella a shout, right?
I would. It depends. Despite on the fact that you rate him. I think in, because Gundogan's season has been so great, it's hard to, and he's shown up when it's counted. I think that's important. It's important to name. And Barella is also extremely, like, it's not that easy with Barella versus Gundogan, because they're both would fit. I mean, Barella's like kicking Gundogan out of the team. So maybe I am choosing Gundogan over. At the same time, if Gundogan, hopefully, I'm praying that he extends his contract. Please, Manchester City, if you're listening to this, please extend him, because the things that he's done for this club over the last two seasons alone have been enough to know that he needs to stay at this club. He needs to retire here. But should he leave and that space opens up and Barella, they're looking at Barella, but like, yes, please bring him in, because he can provide the same. He's technically gifted. He has the same. And I think he has a much more solid defensive awareness than Gundogan. So it's hard to, it's not, that almost not easy. If it was Barella versus KDB, no, KDB definitely. But going on is a little different.
So KDB is in one of the slots.
Yes.
So in the second slot, I got to say Barella. I think he better overall. I think if you're talking about chance creation, if you're talking about box to box, if you're talking about shift, as you just described, shifting back into a defensive position, not in this combined 11, I imagine he wouldn't necessarily help Rodri, but shifting to be a better, you know, shifting to be an additional defensive option in order to stop chance creation from whoever they're playing against. I think if you're talking about, you know, Barella from that standpoint, as you described, like, he certainly is more defensive minded. I think Gundogan is more interested in, similar to, as as I jokingly said, and as you regularly say, his French namesake, Zidane. And I guess now, based on a few other folks, Ruud Gullit, particularly after the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
The comparisons after the FA Cup were a little wild, but cause seeing Ilkay with that, Ilkay with the,
with the dreads,
with a Ruud, yeah, with the Ruud, with Ruud's dreads was, oh.
amazing visual. So that was one thing. When trouble talk happens, things go to our heads.
So, second spot, Barella, or
I'll give you Barella. I'll give you Barella just because I'm trying to be nice. and you know, yeah, I think you're right. I think what is shown is the formation is a big piece, because when we played four in midfield, Gundogan's flaws, if he has any flaws, they really show out. And that's, again, that's how we lost in the Champions League, because he doesn't have the awareness to think like defensively sometimes. And that's how we let Havertz get one-on-one with the keeper. So that being said, I'll give you Barella. And this is not like a pity. I do like Barella a lot too. I chose Italy to win the Euros, and that's what happened. So he was a big piece of that.
He was. And Italy is going to be playing angry for missing out on the World Cup. So who knows what's going to happen in the Euros coming up. Anyway, moving on to attack, I guess, is it, are we doing two, I guess, are we doing two attackers or one? I guess one, right?
Yeah, we can do, well, it depends. If we're doing wingers, then we need two in the front. Or we can because it wouldn't be, yeah, it would have to be two, right? Because it's it's 4-4-2 if we do two.
I think I think this is going to be another easy choice for both of us. I think I think it's Lautaro and Haaland. It's got to be like far and away the best strikers in their respective leagues, far and away the best strikers in every comp. Well, I take that back. Lautaro's been a better striker. I think Haaland was a better striker in the early rounds of the Champions League, but as we got into the later rounds, Haaland wasn't needed as much.
Yeah.
So
Particularly goal scoring, he wasn't needed, but he did the things necessary to give people space.
For chance creation, he did his thing.
Yeah.
But Lautaro, his performances over the entire course of, Haaland's too, over the entire course of the Champions League have been insane. I think it goes without saying how just, I think it goes without saying, like, you know, obviously Julian Alvarez wasn't getting regular starts in the Champions League, unless it was the early rounds where, you know, Manchester City was already, you know, was the clear favorite to win that, you know, to win that early match. So it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
I don't even think Julian had any starts. I can't remember if he had any starts over Haaland during the course.
He may have started late in the group stage, but not in a knockouts, no.
Yeah. And then Inter has three striking options in Dzeko and Lukaku and Lautaro. My hope is, while I am not selecting Lukaku for this combined 11, my hope is that, and I already said it on the episode prior to this one for last week, that I hope Megan Thee Stallion puts all of the WAP energy onto Lukaku. Like, literally, I need her to, and I'm gonna say it, and we're gonna mark it as explicit, and I don't care. I hope she sits. I need Megan to sit on his face for at least an hour.
Oh my goodness, Disney! I'm glad this is not picking up this podcast. It's for the best.
It's for the best. But yeah, I need, while, like I said, I don't know if Inzaghi's going to select Lukaku for the final, because Dzeko's just been the better option for City. I'm sorry for Inter. He was a great option for City.
Yeah.
Dzeko was.
salute to that man.
Yeah.
On both clubs.
But yeah, I think Dzeko's just been the more reliable option as a goal scoring. Certainly of the pairing, obviously of from a rapport standpoint, Lautaro and Lukaku have the more of the rapport, but just from a goal scoring, if you want a guaranteed goal, like, you probably from this season alone, all competitions, Dzeko's the better option. From a combined 11, though, we have clearly selected the better. The best options from a striking position, Haaland and Lautaro. We both agree There's no fight. I don't think there's any fighting there at all.
On a strictly Champions League basis, that's I'm good with that.
I mean, even if we're not even if we're talking about all competitions, they're still the best two. Like, of the striking options for both clubs, I think the only shout you could probably give is Julian coming on for a late minute goal. Like, if you were ranking them again, like we did for the previous competition, I think for the center defensive mid, I think I'd put probably Haaland at one, Lautaro at two, Dzeko at three, Julian at four, and then Lukaku at five.
Now, if we were doing now, this is where it might get contentious because we're talking about all competitions. Now, Lautaro started in the World Cup, and when they were struggling, Alvarez replaced them, and Alvarez started in the final, and also scored. I mean, they beat Croatia. They wasn't a competition at that point, but he scored a golazo against Croatia in the semifinal. Like,
he did.
So that's where it can be contentious. In the Champions League, though, Lautaro was still okay because he played a crucial role in Argentina winning the World Cup to advancing to even get to the final by scoring the game-winning penalty against the Netherlands. But I would still go with Lautaro and Haaland. I think they're the two best. When we think about it in the framework of the – and it's difficult because in the Champions League, yes, Lautaro. Internationally, maybe Alvarez. Maybe. It's close. I'm not saying that Alvarez is ahead, way ahead. In the league, it's a crapshoot because both had their struggles in the league. Whereas Alvarez was kind of, he wasn't the first option, so he didn't get as much time. But I will go with that. I will go with Lautaro and Haaland, of course. In the top.
Now if we're talking about benches, I guess I have to. I think City obviously has the clear advantage from an overall bench standpoint, just from a depth standpoint. Is there quality in Inter's bench? Certainly. I wouldn't necessarily say they have depth in every position. Obviously, with Correa's injury until the end of June, that's a big, from an attacking standpoint, that's a big loss. Overall, though, City has the deeper bench. I will say, though, from a bench standpoint, I think full fitness, I think if we're just talking about the benches going at each other, not the starters, if we're just talking about the benches going at each other, I think City will have the scoring advantage because that would mean Onana's not between the sticks. That means Handanovic is between the sticks. And there's a whole lot of guaranteed goals for City at that point.
I mean, listen. We, as people have joked and maybe are serious too, City can play an A team and B team and be one and two in the league. So I don't know if there's any competition or any more to discuss around the bench. Our second choice goalkeeper is lifting the FA Cup. We even need Ederson to do that. And our second goalkeeper was better distribution than United's starting number one. And I know I'm not going to beleaguer it because I know you're already hurting over it because held on to this man for way too long in David De Gea, for those that don't know. But it's for me, it's no question that City's bench. I mean, and we have a comparative advantage because we have more money to spend. Because we can talk about Mahrez, Ramadan Mahrez. We can talk about Alvarez. We can talk about Calvin Phillips. We can talk about. I mean, there's so many options. It's hard. It's hard for me to remember who do we have on our bench. But knowing that, City's bench is better position. For Phil Foden, I didn't even talk about Phil Foden. And I know we did miss was if we're gonna do 4-3-3, Then we need to have somebody on the left side too, which Jack Grealish. I know you were hating on Jack Grealish all last season.
I was.
This man is he's shown up.
He's shown up.
It is not just in the Gucci ads anymore. Now he's showing up on the pitch. So,
well, somebody in the training room was, I think when they were celebrating, somebody almost slid in and messed up his Gucci bag. He was like, "No, not my Gucci bag."
Which I was like, "Come on, man! You could get 10 of those easily. You're sponsor." Well, I do get that. I understand that too.
Now I thought, because he's had it before, I thought, this is an aside, I thought Jack was going to have the, and I forget which one it was called, but the, because it's Pride Month, I thought he was going to, I know it's not Pride Month in the UK, but I thought he was going to have the rainbow colored Gucci in the dressing room, and not just, I shouldn't say the regular one, but the version that we all know. I thought he was going to, you know, just for branding reasons, I thought he was going to have the.
we still got time in June. June just started, so we'll see.
That's true.
Maybe after the Champions League, when the season's over, you'll see him at Brighton Beach or something, carrying on with a rainbow or the Pride Gucci bag.
Brighton Beach. It's hilarious. First of all, Brighton. Brighton Beach and Miami Beach are not the same. Let's just.
No, that's clear. That's clear. You are 100% right on that. 100%.
If we're talking about comparisons, not necessarily combined 11s. I know we're trailing off, but. we've done the combined 11. We've done the benches. I don't know if there's. I don't know if there's anything else. I guess we can do, because I don't know if we're going to. I guess we are going to do a recording prior to the. We are going to do a recording prior to the match, but I guess we can do one for some early predictions for the. For the match, because we're both here. And we don't have interruptions for, I shouldn't say interruptions. We don't have
opinions. Yes, interruptions is a great way to put it. Arsenal Industrial Complex is not here to join. And now that we've been to the Champions League more than they've ever had in their history, so they can't say shit anymore.
Well, until Sunday, we'll see. Right now, you both still haven't won it. So... Inter and Manchester United, two clubs I support, have you both beaten that regard. So Inter does have the pedigree overall. So I think, but from a prediction standpoint, as a City supporter, obviously you are anticipate Manchester City lifting the trophy and winning the treble.
Yes.
What is your goal prediction? Or, your score prediction?
I'm going to say 3-1 City. I think Haaland is going to score. And I think Jack will get a brace. That's my prediction.
Wow.
That's how much faith I have in this man now. I always have faith in him. Despite the haters, in the pub, but I think this is what's gonna happen.
Put a battery in that man's back. He better deliver. So I'm gonna also go 3-1. Obviously, I don't think Inter is going to roll over for City at all. I think it's gonna be a close. I think it's going to be a cagey affair. I don't think it's going to be a very like front loaded, meaning that it's going to be like all the goals are going to be scored in the first half or anything like that. I think it's going to go into extra time and be that kind of match. I think it's going to be a cagey affair.
Right.
I think City has now really, certainly after the FA Cup, because I think the expectation for City was going into the FA Cup was they're going to roll United over. They're going to win 5-0. It's not even going to be close. And it's going to feel a lot like the first derby was during the regular season. It wasn't. Manchester United played Manchester City like they have in previous derbies, not like the first derby was earlier this season, but certainly played Manchester City better, and probably played Manchester City similar to how Real Madrid played in the first leg. Certainly not in the second leg at all, but definitely the first leg. In terms of who's going to score, I'm going to say it's going to be Lautaro, Barella, and then the final goal is going to come in the 78th minute. Card's going to go up. Lautaro's going to dap up his good friend. He's going to do the point to Lukaku. Lukaku's going to fix his jeans, as you would probably say, but he's going to be wearing his shorts. He's going to be fixing his shorts for a particular reason. He's going to point to Megan watching in the box, and he's going to go out there and score in a garbage time. And he's going to point again. He's going to do the point to Megan, and Megan's going to do the point back from the box.
That is highly ambitious that you think Antonio's going to score three goals against a team that's conceded five in the entire tournament.
But the Champions League final is not.
That would be typical City for that to happen. And I don't think that's going to happen. But I believe and I honor your optimism.
Well, I mean, I think it could be 3-1 or 2-1. I think, you know, I don't think it's going to be. Well, I'll say this. My concern for the Champions League final is that it could go one of two ways. Either Inter is going to show up and counter and play well, or they're going to roll over. One of those two things are going to happen. And the latter is my worry because, sure, are Inter riding high at the end of the season? Supercopa, two cups total, top four finish. Yes, they're riding high. City is riding high too. And City is coming off of certainly better form Champions League. Better fitness Champions League. Overall, all competitions. It's going to be a really intense match. My worry is that I don't want Inter to roll over, and I don't want them. I don't want it to be a situation where Inter are looking up at the lights at the 45th minute, or looking up at the scoreboard, looking at like a 4-0 and saying, "Well, it's over." Like that's my legitimate concern.
I don't think it's going to be that way. I think Inter is going to set up in a way kind of like United did, where it's compact and they're going to stifle us from doing what we normally do. That's what I think is going to happen. And Lukaku is not going to be – it's going to be painful, but Lukaku is probably not going to play if that's the case.
Probably not. But if it's a cagey affair where a goal is needed towards the – you know, as we get into the later – because Dzeko's not going to play all 90 minutes. We know that. and with Correa out until the end of June, Correa is not going to be available. So right. Lukaku's going to have to play. If Dzeko doesn't play the entire 90 minutes, which let's be honest, he's not a spring chicken. So he was a spring chicken at City. He's not a spring chicken now.
Serge and Aguero will hopefully be there. Show him a lot of love.
Hopefully.
Everybody that won in 2012 should be there and give Dzeko love for his critical goal against QPR. For those that don't know, that led us to the greatest comeback in Premier League final game in history.
What I would love to see is, speaking of city teams of years past, because Yaya Toure has lifted the curse, apparently, if Inter goes on to win, I'd love for him to be the one to put the medal on, to put the loser's medal on Pep's neck. I'd love for that to be the, I just want it. Only for banter purposes, I just wanted to just.
That would be hilarious.
Now, I'd love for him to do it if City were to go on to win, because he apparently lifted the curse. I'd love for that to happen too. I'd love for him to be celebrating if City were to win the treble. I will say that the treble is not inevitable. I mean, even when Manchester United won the treble, it wasn't inevitable. While Manchester United, when they won the treble, were far and away the best team in the Prem at the time, they were up against heavy competition in the other, and that's been the case for City as well. Like, this is not a situation where one club has been far and away the better club, because everyone was saying before the Champions League even started that Real Madrid were going to repeat as champions. And what happened?
I told y'all they were going to get the ass whooped by City, and no one is, no, we're going to have to wait and see. Well, we waited and we saw what happened.
Now, I also will say, I think if Napoli had finished, they did finish the Scudetto early, but I think because they were just being run ragged, I think if Napoli had beaten AC Milan in that draw, and then it was Napoli versus Inter situation at this point would have been crazy. That would have been something.
Yeah.
But yeah, can't go backwards.
Here we are now. And now, City has the event. The difference between this potential treble run and United is that Bayern Munich in 99 was a better team than Inter now.
That's true.
In form. Now, I'm not saying player-wise, I think in just form, because Inter does have great players. So, and we just have the best team in the world. It's hard to argue that. And it definitely will be if we win the final. So, whereas I think Inter is going to, they're going to play well in terms of being, again, trying to slow us down. It's only a matter of time. I think hopefully they'll get it right, City that is, and realize, they're trying to press us and compact us. We will just send a ball over the top for Haaland to take on Bastoni. Hopefully that'll be in Pep. Hopefully Pep doesn't develop an intense case of galaxy brain. So we'll see. But I'm confident. I am
more confident in a ball coming over the top and Haaland facing Bastoni one-on-one than I am a ball coming over the top and Haaland facing either a Serbi or Darmian, because I don't. Darmian used to play for United and he was not good. So, now, yes, at Inter, has he been better? By leaps and bounds, yes. But just the thought of Haaland getting over the top and, yeah, he's dusting Darmian. He's going to be like Thanos out there. against Darmian one-on-one. Anyway, do you have any final thoughts about Champions League or the combined 11?
No.
Any other?
Only final thought is Milan is a better city than Manchester. So, I think we're confident on that.
Yes. Indeed. Certainly better weather. The racism is probably peaking in Milan. Probably more.
Yeah. Right. That's a whole other podcast.
Indeed. All right. Well, thank you for listening to another fantastic set piece of the Brand Club FC. We are still the spiciest team on the game. Still with the hottest takes on the pitch. For Jonathan, this is your captain, Neil, speaking. Thank you for listening. Please follow us on all platforms. We are going to obviously be very active on Twitter. You can expect us to be active during the Champions League final. You can expect clips of this combined 11 to be on all of your on all of your social media platforms prior and leading up to the final and during the final. You know, our our predictions are probably going to be up there as well. So certainly look forward to that. Again, follow us, rate us, do what you got to do. We are releasing podcasts in this, releasing all the backlog of episodes this summer. So certainly look out for those as well. We will release this set piece very soon. So again, for Jonathan, this is your Captain Neil saying we will see you next week. All right. So, stay here. Is it still recording?
Yep. I see the timer is still going.
It's not. All right. I'm going to leave this. Hold on.